welcome back to the Covenant Eyes podcast. I am one of the hosts, Karen Potter, joined today by Brandon Clark. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. You know, we're always doing awesome every time we open these podcasts because we love doing the podcast. We have amazing guests. We bring together all sorts of people that are serving people in different ways to help them overcome pornography and other challenges. And it's just so good to be doing this kind of work. I love it.
It really is. And our guest today, I mean, he's got a plethora of experiences, from chess playing to army veteran to physicist to a former professional heavyweight boxer. I mean, Whoa. Holy cow, what hasn't this guy done? Which means that he's had a lot of experience when it comes to training, fighting against addiction, and also in helping others break free and find freedom from the things that they're struggling with. So I'm really excited to have him on, Karen, to talk a lot about his experience and how he's helping others.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's not waste any more time and go ahead and introduce today's guest, Ed Lattimore. How are you today? And thank you for joining us.
I am fantastic. Thank you guys for making the time and fitting me in your busy schedule as well.
Awesome. Well, you're tuning in from hot and sunny Sarasota, Florida. So thanks for, you know, traveling and jumping in. I know that's always hard. So.
Not a problem. I'm cool right now because I'm inside, but yeah. I'll go back out and brace the heat soon enough.
Well, awesome. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and just, you know, give them a good primer on what you do to help people out there.
So I'm Ed Lattimore, and I guess my kind of claim to fame, if we want to talk about like how people initially found me out, I always say it's boxing, but I look at where my notoriety was when I took my last fight and where it is now. And so I have to honestly say a lot of people found me through my writing on different subjects, particularly addiction, not just with pornography. I know this podcast focuses on that, but also with alcohol. And what you find is when you deal with those two kinds of addictions, and I like to put them in two different categories somewhat, what you see is a complete picture to help someone deal with something that they have no control over. And that is really become a source of enjoyment. I used to actually, you know, I used to charge and run these groups, and now I'm just like, here are just the gods, you know, here they go, work with them, use them, and hopefully you get something out of them that can help you that perhaps you couldn't find anywhere else.
That's incredible. And I was kind of reading your biography and just kind of your history. You know, and you had a rough start in life. Like, you grew up and it was not easy, right? Do you want to walk us through a little bit of your history and that journey that you took, and then how alcohol addiction and other addictions kind of led you to where you are today? Because you went through those troubles and tribulations and it led you somewhere beautiful today where you're at.
Yeah, you know, what's funny, this stuff is all like super fresh in my mind, because I'm writing, I guess, my memoir, which is the best. Yeah, I never wanted to write a memoir, but when my agent got a hold of my manuscript, he goes, this is the book you need to write, not this other one. Let's focus on that one. So I'm pulling a bunch of these experiences that had a formative, to say the least, impact on what my life is now. And, you know, the rough start you spoke of, I was born in the projects, public housing, to a single mom raised in poverty, and that comes with a lot of negative externalities, as they say in economics, that I could not control. Now, I did a good job of heading off some of the worst ones, but, you know, just because something doesn't make itself known acutely doesn't mean there's not a chronic underlying degradation that's taken place. And a lot of that didn't manifest until I got away from the constant support, and we'll call them positive peer pressure, of a lot of the friends I made in high school. I went to a high school outside of that neighborhood. So, you know, in my 20s, that's when the addiction really kicked in on both fronts, because you know, I always tell people, you know, when you look at somebody who's an addict, what you're looking at is somebody dealing with trauma, without a doubt. A lot of loneliness, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-esteem issues, a lot of inability to cope in general with the stress of life, because, you know, no one taught you. You found these tools to help you, and maybe at some point you didn't use them to a dangerous amount, but, you know, that's where we end up with what addiction is. Now you do use them as a dangerous amount, way past the point of any diminishing value. So that's kind of in a nutshell. You know, rough upbringing leads you to ways to cope, and then the ways to cope end up taking over and causing new problems that you have to face in the future if you ever want to move forward, which I think I've done a great job of.
You had a very successful boxing career. 13-1-1 was your record. And you know training, you know discipline, because you wouldn't have been successful without those two in the ring. How do you think that plays into both your personal experience in battling the addictions that you faced, but then also for our listeners in battling the addictions that they face?
Well, competence breeds confidence, right? And so when you do something well, it doesn't matter really what it is, at first at least, but when you do something well, you feel like you can do any other thing well. And you start to become, you trust yourself more to take on difficult things. So that's where we, you know, after you do one thing successful, then you scale up and you go, I did this, I can do something a little harder, a little more difficult. Fighting is, you know, I talk about this all the time, how this influenced so many other areas of my life, because it's not like I walked into the boxing gym and I was this standout guy. I struggled. It was hard, but I stuck with it and got better. And before I knew it, as an amateur and a national champion and a top ranking in the country and the sponsorships. And I said, wow, I went from scratch to this. So I'm like, okay, I can do this. And that affected how I decided to approach learning, how I decided to approach sobriety. I said, okay, if I can do these things, why can't I do these things? You know, I don't get hit. It's not exhausting. Let's go for that. So like, to port that into general advice for anyone, I think an underrated component of self-improvement is doing something because it's difficult. I just read a great newsletter by a buddy of mine, Nat Elias, and he starts it off like, you know, if you take calculus, your math teacher, you'll ask your math teacher, like, why am I taking calculus? And he might say, you'll use it sometime in your life. But that's probably not really true for calculus. The real benefit is that it's hard as hell. And if you get through it, you go, wow, I got through something really difficult. And then there's like the peripheral benefits of problem solving, analytical ability, analysis, things like that. But the real benefit is that you did something hard. And so you go do something hard and you come away with that confidence. And I think a lot of people, when they fall into addiction in the first place, confidence is one of the first things, if not the first thing kind of to go, almost by definition. So if you can get that back in some way, then you go, all right, I did this. And it ain't the same as that, but degree-wise, it's challenging enough, and I pushed myself, I mustered, I pulled from within when things weren't going well, and I made it through. So that's really the benefit of the training and how that crossed over to me and how I think other people can take those ideas and use them to beat whatever battle they're facing in their life.
I love that fighter mentality. I think we need that when we're facing an addiction or something we're trying to overcome or change. You know, Covenant Eyes, we talk a lot about when we're replacing our bad habits, we have to find good ones to replace the bad ones. And so, you know, part of that is building confidence in other areas and positive places. So I love that you're talking about that. And I love that fighter mentality. Like, we need that. And for those of us that are in Christ and our followers, like, we know that our confidence comes from being a follower of Christ. And so that's important to us as well.
Of all the topics you could talk about, Ed, one of the topics you take on is porn. is this something that fell into your lap? Was this something that you felt that?
You know what happened? when I first started my website at Lattimore.com, I had to figure out kind of what I was going to write about. Well, that's why it's at Lattimore.com and not like boxing.com or chess.com or physics.com or sobriety.com, whatever, right? It's all stuff that I wanted the site to follow my journey and whatever I was interested in at the time. And it's been true to that. Well, one of the things I was dealing with and was interested in is like getting off of porn. I wrote about that before I wrote about getting off of sobriety. And like, that's probably if you want to talk like things that exposed or expanded my, my brand and how people know about me, my talks about sobriety and my book about it and all that, that is definitely bigger than any of the material I put out about getting off porn. But I wrote that because I was just I wanted to help guys out. And I also felt like my suggestions were counterintuitive. Some of them, at least, you know, some of them are very obvious, but I thought there was some counterintuition. And whenever that exists, I'm like, okay, I have something to share. Now I know there's some gold here, because a lot of people aren't thinking this way. So rather than rehash what everyone else is saying, here's something new. So I wrote that article, and that article, every time I share it on social media, I think back to this old Chris Rock joke. And Chris Rock, he talks about, he was the host of the MTV Music Video Awards way back when Chris Rock was huge. This was like in the 90s. And he's the host, and he mentions the Spice Girls, who were up for a bunch of awards. And he's like, Spice Girls sold 10 million records, and I can't find one person who admits to buying one. The Spice Girls are like heroin. You know somebody's using it, but you're just not knowing it comes clean about it. So I looked at the stats whenever I shared that article. And let me tell you, I've got a pretty big Twitter presence, minimum retweet. But I can see the stats. Like, I can see people are really reading it. Like, it's one of the most engaged things that I put out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, here's a need here. And people are using this information. And then I really started to dig into it, because I wrote a follow-up article about it, you know, signs you're addicted to porn. And in that one, I went and dug into the research. And you know, I'm 38, not 83. I'm 38. That means that I am a pure-blooded, right heart in the middle, no debate about a millennial. And one of the defining characteristics of millennials is that we didn't have social media in high school. We didn't really have, we had the internet, but it wasn't like this where I sat down and I don't even wire my computer to run it. And so high speed wireless, none of that, no handheld devices. It was for all intents and purposes, the Stone Age, right? And I didn't realize like how ubiquitous porn had become until I looked at those stats and I looked at how destructive it was. Like psychologically, it's very easy to go, you know, or rather, I think it's very easy to get to the conclusion that if you watch a lot of porn, you will have problems in your life, right? But when I was coming up, it was hard to watch a lot of porn because, you know, first off, you had to acquire it. That was the big challenge right there. And acquiring it meant, you know, one of your buddies had a dirty magazine or a VHS tape, but the VHS tapes came in on big boxes that were super colorful, like nobody's hiding those. And you couldn't just go pick them up. They weren't sold at Target or something. You had to go to an adult video store, and nobody wants to be seen coming out of those. Plus, you got to be like over 18 anyway to get in them. The game's changed now, though. And so now you get these guys getting introduced to this stuff younger and younger because the internet's everywhere, like everywhere now. I remember they used to say, you know, learn how to do your math. You won't always have a calculator. Not only do I always have a calculator, I know everything, or rather I have access to everything in the palm of my hand, right? And really no one's lost more in that progress than I think young men, because you know, with porn being everywhere, it being high speed, high def, there being so much of it, that, you know, effectively all the porn is free. You know, one of the things I say in that article is you know you're addicted when you start paying for porn, because there's no reason to pay for it given how much stuff is out there. They, you know, the boldness of these guys, I think X Video or something like that, they put out their year in report on porn. And this is one from, like, it was like 2018. And they were saying that if you started watching all the porn on our site before the slaves were free, like the year the Civil War started, and somehow all you did was watch porn, you would not be halfway done by the time 2018 rolled around. And just seeing those stats and then finding out, like, the rate of ED is increasing, but in particular in the younger age groups, I'm like, you know, it's a big problem in as far as I'm concerned. And then, you know, something else I just discovered too in terms of this problem, you like to think, being a rational person, because this is a rational thought, it goes, okay, you're you know, putting yourself out on the screen, it's crazy, it's not really something I do, but it's your choice. Come to find out, it ain't always that way either. There's a lot of human trafficking that goes on with this as well. And that really broke my heart, because Fight the New Drug, they have this series, and they were interviewing survivors of I think it's called Girls Do Porn or something was the site, but they were basically trafficking these women and forcing them into this stuff and threatening them to, and the girl was on there being interviewed, and she says, you know, if you look at it, you know, it looks like it's consensual, but it was in no way, shape, or form. And that, you know, you want to talk about a paradigm shift. I think if, you know, you're not going to get through to everybody, right? But you look at all the tools you have to get through to guys, and I think that's one of the most underused tools to mention it, that, you know, you can be, without even knowing it, complicit in the true destruction of someone's life. Yeah. I mean, because I'm realist here. Look, man, some people gonna see a buck and they're gonna do it, and that's a buck you don't need to have any skills for, and that is your own choice. But like, if you reach into, if you, what's that old analogy that Trump used when he was running for office about the illegal immigration? He goes, you know, you take a bag of M&Ms, and one of them is poisoning the whole bag. You don't know which one, and you reach in and you eat them. Are you still going to do that? Like, is that going to be the action you take? Knowing that one of them is going to kill you. He goes, okay. I mean, your odds are pretty low, but there's that one. And it's the same way you look at porn. It's like, most of them probably aren't being trafficked, but we know that exists. So why would you want to, you know, deal with that? And there are so many problems with the high speed internet introduction of pornography, and that really is just one of them. But there's so many. I say, you know, this is a big deal, and I may as well put out content to help guys. I've got a few articles on my site from that now, just seeing that it's a highly searched out topic. It's one that if you can, it's like alcohol, right? If you can get people to stop drinking as much, you solve a bunch of other problems that you weren't really thinking about. And I think porn is no different. If you can get people to stop, if you can get guys, if you can hold, at the very least, hold the kids off, you can stop a whole bunch of problems before, you know, that we weren't even thinking about.
Agree with that. And yeah, you know, I'm so thankful for your real life. Like, this is the real life stuff that people are going through, and you're just kind of exposing that to our listeners, because there's a lot of people out there that have been on that same journey and they can relate so much to what you're saying. So I appreciate you sharing that and sharing content too to help people understand, like, first off, you're not alone, and like, this, we can overcome this. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way out.
I ran I ran three iterations of this group, and then for other reasons, I decided to not. But in this group, you know, it's a 12-week challenge. Guys come in, and we work to you know, help them stay off porn. How we do it, you know, a weekly call and a message board and all that good stuff. And one of the things that really stood out to me is how many guys are just afraid to reach out. And are afraid to talk about this because this is one way that the booze, at least not the other drugs, but booze is very similar to porn, and that there's a societal acceptance. I always say that booze is the one drug where if you don't do it, people think you have a problem. Porn is very much close to that with the majority of young men. It's like, at the very least, no one goes, oh, you watch porn, what's wrong with you? Or rather, you know, some people do, but the majority don't. So when you reach that point where you have a real problem and you recognize it, because it's not like I'm fishing on the internet looking for these guys. They come to me like, yo, I need some help and I don't want to deal with this. There's no one to really reach out and talk to about these things. So one of the cool things about having my platform and being who I am is that I can do that. But my cred as a man is established. Like, you can't say anything to me, right? So I can be a voice for people, or at the very least be a lighthouse. Is probably a better way to put it. They go, okay, there's a rock. All the rest of the shore is rocky, but there's a place I can go and get some help and talk to some cats and figure this thing out. Here's some resources, some free stuff, some paid stuff if I want to. But either way, there's help. It's not insurmountable, and I'm not alone.
Yeah, I love that. As we wrap up our time together, where can people go if they want to find more information, if they want to read these blog articles? I know you have another resource out there to help people quit porn. Can you just give us the details on that?
Yeah, so right on my website, free resources, and check it out. I haven't figured out what I'm going to rename the title, but right now, if you go to my website, you'll see in the free resources section a guide, a compendium, and you can check it out. And really, the guide is put together. It's not just my ideas, right? That'd be cool enough, I think, anyhow. But the guide is taken from the first cohort and has a lot of the feedback from the guys that were in that cohort on what worked. And we really doubled down on that on the next two cohorts to help guys. You know, one guy's married now. He had never had a girl, which I thought was great. Thought about getting things together. Another guy, you know, is setting a better example for his family, better relationship with his wife. So these the ideas put together in the very free resource, might I add, very free, is that, you know, they've been tested, they worked. You know, I gathered the data, put it out there, and now it's on my site. And if people want to check it out, go for it. And then all the articles on my site, if you go to my site in the category under addiction, you'll see not just my articles about getting off porn, but also getting off alcohol as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll put all the links into our show notes for all of our listeners out there that might be driving in the car thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't get that website, or I don't, we understand, but you will be able to get all those links in the show notes. So make sure you click on those and check out any of Ed's blogs, resources. Just, he's got a wealth of information, and even his personal story is just, it's inspiring to see how he's had, you call them different lives or different stages of your life. I love that, yeah. Because we all go through that, right? I mean, there's just different stages that we go through, and I love that. So thank you for sharing with us today, Ed. We appreciate it. Hope to have you back again sometime soon. And to all of our listeners out there, God bless. Take care. We'll see you next time.